Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of the Beatitudes, we were taught that when a person's actions cause a break in fellowship, and that person makes no attempt at reconciliation, that we should compel them to make things right. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, the Lord is our example, and He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us, the book of 1 John tells us. So doesn't it make sense to you that if He first loved us, then if we're going to be Christ-like, we see those people that were perhaps friends, loved ones, somebody close to us, they've betrayed us, they've hurt us deeply, and a little bit of time has passed. And perhaps we can go back now and write a letter, make a telephone call, personal visit. And you don't deny what they've done is wrong, and you don't overlook what they've done is wrong. But you let them know, look, what you did is wrong. But if you're willing to repent and apologize for it, make it right. Man, I want us to have fellowship again. We can't till then, but boy, it'd be great if we could. You see, that means that forgiveness must already be in your heart. Now, there have been people that have sought forgiveness of someone that they had actually wronged that person, sought forgiveness of them, the person wouldn't extend it. Why? Because the forgiveness wasn't already in their heart. And regardless of the nature of the sin, you've got to be ready to forgive that person when they come to you seeking for forgiveness. So this Pharisee, because he felt no need for forgiveness, he did not extend forgiveness or mercy to the publican. He didn't look at him as a soul that needed the salvation of the Lord. Instead, he just looked at him and said, oh no, that's not somebody we want. You know, I do not believe in compromising our standard. Our standards must be remained as strong as they ever were. We don't compromise any doctrine whatever. All truth of God is not for sale. The truth of God, any truth of God, is not to be sacrificed for worldly acceptance or any other kind of acceptance. But one of the truths of God is that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One of the truths of God is that He would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. One of the truths of God is that whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely. One of the truths of God is that ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now think about that, my friend. You see that person that their face looks like they fell into a tackle box. They've got tattoos all over their body. You say, man, that's not the kind of person I want around my family. Don't want them around my church. They're a wild-looking person. Well, they need to get saved. They need to get saved. I can remember a couple of years ago, some old guy come on our church property, had hair halfway down his back, and there was no doubt this was the world, okay? And even come walking in with a cigar in his mouth. Well, we got that taken care of, but he come walking in with a cigar in his mouth. And so we started talking to the man, and do you know what? That man not only got right with God, but within a couple of weeks after he got right with God, I had a man come up to me in church one Sunday, and I didn't know the guy for the first 30 seconds, and I realized it was this man. He got his hair cut, had a suit on and all that. And see, He had to be cleaned in the heart before it could be cleaned on the inside. Now, I didn't grow my hair. I didn't put mud on my face, and I didn't get tattoos so that person would feel good and feel comfortable around it. But I didn't try to straighten his outside first. I wanted to straighten his heart out first. He had to see that he's a sinner and he needed to be saved, and that he was making a decision to come to Christ, and Christ was going to take his sin away from him, and that he was committed to the pleasing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can be outwardly seem to be very righteous and very separated. But outward conformity is not necessarily truth on the inward parts. Do you understand what I just said there? Outward conformity is not necessarily truth on the inward parts, as Psalms 51:6 says. You see, men are really as they are with God, not as they appear in the eyes of the world, not as they appear in the eyes of other religious people. But men are as they really are with God. That's why Jesus said, well, the publican that actually went down to his house justified, not this self-righteous Pharisee. This Pharisee begged no mercy from God, and so he felt no mercy towards his fellow Jew, this publican. Therefore, he stands before God's judgment bar without mercy. It's as the Christian who thinks he has arrived. And so, when he sits in a church service, God begins to speak to his heart, but there is no way in the world he'd go forward in church. He did that when he's a young Christian, but not now, because then he's admitting weakness. The judgment bar of Christ, I believe, will just show that that person was a hindrance to the church spiritually. Maybe there's not revival in the church because that person was holding on. You see, when we get to the point where our attitude is, oh, I'll make my decision back here in my seat. I'm not going to go forward. That's silly. That's the person full of pride. And usually what you find out, and I know this because I've done it often in my own seat when I was sitting in the pew. I'd make a decision back there. Later, I realized I was just getting the Holy Spirit off my back because I wasn't abiding by those decisions. And that's what too many try to do. Then another example that Christ gives us is in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 25. And that tells of the two debtors. And you remember the story, the first debtor, I mean, he owes a fortune. Just to kind of give it an idea of what we're talking about here, let's just say he owes $500,000. And then there's this poor servant that owes $50. Okay, well, that's a big disparity, isn't it? And that's about what the disparity was between the two. The first debtor goes to his debtor and he says, look, please forgive me. I can't pay y'all. And so instead of putting him in jail and all that, this king shows him mercy and doesn't throw him in jail. And although he says, have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything. And probably he wouldn't have ended up paying him anything because we find out later he didn't. But the king was merciful. He wanted forgiveness, but really, he thought he could pay his own way. Yet he had not been able to. Perhaps he felt like he could relate to the king about paying all. This would put me on the same level as the king. Well, it would not. And his fault was that he did not accept the spirit of forgiveness. He was happy the king forgave him, but he didn't accept that spirit of forgiveness. Now, this other man, he owed this guy that had been forgiven the fortune that he owed to the king. And because that poor guy didn't have the money, he threw him in jail and said, you're going to stand there until I get back every bit of what you've taken from me, of what you borrowed from me and didn't pay back. And he cast him into jail. Well, you know the story there in Matthew 18. The king finds out what he did, and so he just goes ahead and takes that man and said, okay, I gave you mercy, and you can't be merciful. I forgave you much more than you'll ever forgive this guy. And so he threw him in the clink, okay? See, he did not extend it because only a forgiven man can be a forgiving person. And so he didn't extend forgiveness. He did not understand the spirit of forgiveness. So therefore, since he hadn't paid anything back, the king threw him into jail. Be patient with me and I'll pay thee all. Well, that just didn't happen. He could not be merciful because this other person didn't have his education. This other person didn't measure up to him. This other person was not in his social class. Well, I'm sure that other person got out a whole lot earlier than he got out of jail. And so understand that you have to be a forgiving person and know that you'll never, never, never forgive anyone who has sinned against you more than God has forgiven you. Now, that's hard. Maybe somebody's listening to me today because maybe you had a mate that ran off with another woman or another man and broke your heart in 1,000 pieces, and that's hard. You've heard of people that say, oh, they just broke my heart, or I'm just so hurt. And you realize they have no idea what heart hurt is and a broken heart is. You've got a wounded spirit. And yet, as much as you've been hurt, you've hurt God more than that person hurt you because you have no idea of how sin affects God. Well, then the next illustration that we have of mercy is in the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. And that's in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Now, the older brother had a problem forgiving this wandering brother because all he could do is recount the years of his own faithful servants and how his brother ran out. And he not only ran out, but he took his father's stuff and spent it on sin. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Wine, women, and song. And there might have been somewhat of a righteous indignation in the elder brother. The Bible doesn't tell us there was or there wasn't, but it's quite possible there's a righteous indignation. That brother, don't forget, he doesn't see repentance in this young man. He hasn't seen him yet. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.